I'd like to read three texts from the Bible, and the first is in Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and in this edition of the Bible it's page 1248. Luke 15 and the first verse. And all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." He spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. And being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' I say unto you, that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance." Now in the previous gospel, Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, starting on page 1201, Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 24. "And he rose up and went away thence into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and having entered into a house, he would not have anyone know it, and he could not be hid. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by race, and asked him that he should cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, 'Suffer the children to be first filled, for it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.' But she answered and says to him, 'Yea, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs.' And he said to her, 'Because of this word, go thy way. The demon is gone out of thy daughter.' And having gone away to her home, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. And again, having left the borders of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis." And finally, John's Gospel, chapter 19 of John's Gospel, page 1297, verse 25 of chapter 19. "And by the cross of Jesus stood his mother, and the sister of his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Jesus, therefore, seeing his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, says to his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then he says unto the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, 'I thirst.' There was a vessel therefore there, full of vinegar, and having filled a sponge with vinegar, and putting hyssop round it, they put it up to his mouth. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. The Jews, therefore, that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for it was the preparation for the day of that Sabbath, was a great day, demanded of Pilate that their legs might be broken, and they taken away. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first and of the other that had been crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water." We sometimes sing at meetings such as this a hymn which has the line, referring to Jesus, the Lord Jesus, his path uncheered by earthly smiles led only to the cross. And so my final scripture refers to John's account of the Lord Jesus on the cross. The last hour maybe less, of the time that my Saviour was there. I read two other passages, one a parable, one an actual incident. A parable that the Lord told, and an incident about what he did while he was here. In the first extract I read in Luke 15, we have the reference to the Lord and the fact that he was eating with tax gatherers and sinners, and he was being criticized by the religious leaders of the day for mixing with such people. They said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And the Lord heard just what they said. He doesn't tell them off exactly, but he tells them a parable. He tells them a little story which has a meaning that's a bit below the surface, and you have to think about it. He tells them a story about a shepherd, and it's quite clear that many of them knew exactly what that was all about. They were shepherds, and a shepherd was responsible to the owner of the sheep for looking after those sheep. And I suspect if one sheep was lost, he had to pay himself to replace that sheep. And so you can understand that shepherd was very keen that not one should be lost. And I love to think of the Lord Jesus as my shepherd, who's gone after me until he found me. He never gave up. You read in the papers of some of these search operations, and they have to be abandoned because the weather's got so bad, or it's got dark. But there's no indication of that at all in this scripture. The shepherd would have the advantage of the bleating of the sheep, no doubt. And when he was near, he could hear that, and he could trace the sound of the sheep, and he went after it until he found it. He never gave up. And that's, I think, Jesus in the gospel. He's working to secure you for himself. He wants you. He loves you. God's love is towards you too. And this shepherd is going to come after you until he finds you. And then you think of the way that that sheep is taken home. On the shoulders of the shepherd, right round like that, two legs, either side, the sheep was completely safe. The sheep would know it was safe. The sheep wouldn't struggle in that position. On one shoulder, he might feel insecure. Like that, he would know he was absolutely safe. And he would be carried back to the 99. I think you can understand a bit more about why the Lord says this about the 99 and leaving them in the wilderness, when you see that the Lord says of them that they have no need of repentance. These were people, these sheep, the 99 sheep, represented people who thought they were fine. They were good. They were great people. They'd done their bit for society. They had lived a fairly straightforward life. That's not what the gospel's all about, dear friend. The gospel's all about the fact that you and I are sinners. We've fallen short of God's standard. It's not a question of the balance. If you look at the Old Bailey up in central London, justice stands there with a balance in her hand. But that's not God's way. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Somewhere else it says, all have been in the balances and found wanting. We're all wanting. We all need a saviour. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standards. But he has provided, God has provided, a saviour in Jesus. And we can present him to you as our saviour. The one who we put our trust in. Not just for our lives down here, but for eternity too. And we'd love it if you too would put your trust in that saviour that God has provided. Where I read in Mark's gospel, we have a case of a little girl who had an unclean spirit. We often read of this sort of thing in the Bible. I'm not sure what I can say about it, but clearly she had a need that all the doctors, everyone else around, couldn't meet. And her mother knew that Jesus was the one who could help her. One thing I want you to notice about this passage, right at the beginning, where I read, Jesus went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And at the end of where I read, and again, having left the borders of Tyre and Sidon. I'm not sure what that journey was for Jesus. I'm not sure exactly what the borders mean. Another translation says in the regions of Tyre and Sidon, two coastal towns on the eastern edge of the Mediterranean, south of where Beirut is, as we know it now. But I get the impression from this scripture and of Mark's account of the Lord's visit there that he went just for this one little girl. The woman was a Greek. She recognized that she had no real claim on Jesus. The Jews had their first claim. He was their Messiah, though they didn't recognize him. And the woman's prepared to refer herself to herself as a dog. She says, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And the Lord recognizes the faith that's in that person. The faith that there in the presence of the Lord Jesus was the only one who could actually cure this poor child of the awful problems that possessed her. You read elsewhere in the Bible of people similarly possessed. You see the sort of signs, the terrible things that demon possession did to people, and you realised how their lives were absolutely horrible. It's the only way you can describe it. And yet Jesus came into the circumstances of this little girl. And it says she is a little girl, not a grown-up, just a little girl. And the Saviour comes that long journey to work this miracle on one child. Though no doubt her mother was affected by what Jesus did too. And I love to think of that. However far that journey was, that Jesus was prepared to go. And we can tell you the same thing today. The Lord is willing to do whatever's necessary that you might find him as your own personal saviour, that might enjoy the blessing that he has in mind for you, that you might know him as your personal saviour, and might too know peace with God. I think that's something worth thinking about. I'm very thankful to know peace with God. You can look into the future. It's full of question marks. Don't think I remember a time when the future was so uncertain. Politically and every other way, economically, huge question marks about the future. But if you have a link with Jesus, you've got peace with God. And it was all worked out at Calvary. I'm sure everyone here knows the story of what Jesus did at Calvary when he bore our sins in his own body there, when his blood was shed. I've read this whole section just to put it into its context. The bit I wanted to refer to was that, just that statement of Jesus, the final statement according to John's gospel, according to John, it is finished. The work was done there. It will never need to be repeated. It stands for time and for eternity. And my trust is in what Jesus did for me there, when he bore my sins there, when he hung for me. You think of the awful agony that was his physically, hanging upon a tree with nails through your hands and your feet. But you think about too of the fact that God put all my sins and all your sins on Jesus in those hours of darkness, and he bore them and satisfied God in regard to everything I have done, everything I will do. And the same applies to you, if only you'll put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Some of us know Jesus, have known Jesus for a long time. We'd like to encourage you to put your trust in him for time and for eternity. To own before God that you're a sinner, that you find no alternative way out of those sins of yours. You can't do anything to satisfy God because Jesus has already done it. And don't try, dear friend, don't try. There are so many people who go through life trying to sort of live a good sort of life, helping their neighbours. I don't in any way despise that, but that's not what God looks for in the gospel. He wants your repentance. Repentance towards God. That is, you say, I'm a sinner and I need a saviour, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, you've done everything for me. I want you to be my saviour. I trust what you've done at Calvary's tree, and I know that that will satisfy God. And when I am with him, I can refer to that blessed truth that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You think about the way this soldier pierced his side, act of hatred, act of extreme callousness. He didn't have to do it, he did it. And there out came blood and water, the blood of my Saviour that cleanses me from sin. Put your trust in him. I beg of you today, dear friend, put your trust in Jesus. Consider what God would say to you in the gospel. Don't put it off. Believe today. Find Jesus as your own Saviour. Find a point of certainty in an uncertain world that you know that the question of your sins, the question that stood between you and an almighty, eternal, holy God has been resolved 2,000 years ago, and that's where your trust is. And find peace with God through doing so. Think about it. I pray you'll think about it, and not just think about it, but accept Jesus for yourself today, for his name's sake. Amen.